Hello and welcome back to another edition of First Team Podcast. I am your host, John Frusciante. So on this week's episode, I will have a review of the U.S. Soccer Federation's annual general meeting from this past weekend. I will have audio clips on this week's episode, so stay tuned for that. There is a lot to pick out. There is a lot to talk about from these audio clips. So let's get to them. I will play the opening statement before the vote from Carlos Cordero and then from Sidney Cohn.
As you all know, I've experienced our game from many vantage points. A player at every level, coach at the youth, college, professional levels, and most recently, serving as your president. Since the age of three, soccer has played a central role in my life. I am the person and leader I am today because of our game. Our game and U.S. soccer is a part of who I am. That's why it was so important to me to make sure that U.S. soccer weathered the significant storms of the last couple of years and was in a position to come out stronger than ever before. Now, I won't say we've solved every problem during my time leading the Federation, but we've made significant progress under my leadership. And now is the time to look forward, not back. Now is the time to continue moving forward as a united Federation, to continue regaining the trust of our fans, our players, our members, and the public, to continue building and growing revenue streams with partners, old and new, to ensure the financial health of the entire Federation, to continue growing soccer from the ground up so we can showcase our incredible game through our most important opportunity in 30 years, hosting the 2026 Men's World Cup. The progress we've made over the last 2 years, despite the pandemic directly overlapping with my time as president, has not gone unnoticed in the soccer world and beyond. We've regained trust and credibility with our business partners. We've inked a new media rights deal. We've settled high-profile, costly litigation. We've signed the largest sponsorship deal in U.S. soccer history, with more to announce in the coming days. This positive momentum has tangible effects on the credibility and financial well-being of the entire Federation. Notably, some of our most important sponsors and partners have gone so far as to say that their future support of U.S. soccer is contingent on this continued progress. I know that sometimes the issues that dominate the headlines may feel far away from the realities of the grassroots game, but the truth is that these varying priorities have never been more interconnected, especially as we look ahead to 26. The goals and immediate needs of our membership are vast and varied, just like our membership itself. I have always believed that those diverging and intersecting perspectives are one of our greatest strengths, and I hope to continue to find ways to build coalitions across our game so we can all work together to grow the sport for the long term. Despite our diverse viewpoints, at the end of the day, we are all on the same team and are working to grow our game to make it better for everyone. Even though we've made great progress over the last 2 years, we still have important work ahead of us if we are going to achieve the goals that we have set forth and the many other goals yet to come. We have to expand access to the game at all levels and ensure that more kids and adults are choosing soccer and getting on the field, no matter what form that takes. We must help our youth, adult, and professional games grow. We must remain laser focused on increasing diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging initiatives. And we must make sure that hosting the World Cup in 26 grows the game at all levels. There are both important issues and important opportunities ahead of us. As we set our sights on 26 and beyond, I ask you each to consider whether U.S. soccer should continue to push forward or whether we should go backward. I would be honored to continue leading us forward in this critical moment, and I hope you'll give me the opportunity to do so. Thank you.
For the presidential speeches Mr. Cordero is ready and will now have 5 minutes to speak to address the Assembly. Mr. Cordero, please go forward.
Hello, everyone. As you watch across the country, I hope that you, your families, and your teams are all healthy and doing well. Our Federation is a family. We're all here because we love the game. Over the years, we've worked together, grown the game together, and cheered for our teams together. And like so many of you, I've always been a volunteer. I was honored when you elected me your president, and I'm proud of the progress we made together. From winning our bid for the 2026 World Cup to new investments in players, coaches, and referees at every level. What happened 2 years ago was inexcusable, and it was hurtful, especially for the incredible players of our women's national team. On behalf of the Federation, I apologized. I took responsibility. That experience was deeply, deeply humbling. And over the past 2 years, I've reflected a great deal. I've learned, and I'm committed to doing better, to being a better listener and a better partner. In recent months, many of you shared your concerns about the Federation. Many of you have felt ignored and marginalized. I hear you. It's time to heal our Federation and look to the future. And I'm ready to do my part, to reach out and to build bridges. I believe the years ahead can be the most exciting in the history of soccer in America, and I believe we can work together on three major opportunities. First, we have to make our governance more inclusive. I will listen, I will consult with you, because in a federation as big and diverse as ours, everyone matters, everyone has value, and everyone should have an equal opportunity to lead. Second, we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to bring two World Cups to America. I have strong ties with global soccer, and I'm ready to get to work. Let's make sure that 2026, the largest World Cup ever, is a huge success that benefits every member. Let's also bring a Women's World Cup to the U.S. I helped win the bid for 26, and I'll be relentless in this bid as well. Two World Cups, just imagine the excitement, the new players and fans it will bring in from the grassroots to the professional leagues. It will transform soccer in America for decades to come. Finally, we have to harness all this excitement to bring in new sponsors and invest in every member. After all, if we want to compete with the world's best, we need a budget that's world class and a strategic plan to grow for the long term. I've been reaching out to potential new sponsors. They're ready for major new partnerships. I'm confident we can get it done and target these sponsorships to support more teams and more members. This means we can fund the settlement with the WNT, including equal pay, and still preserve our budget and reserves. We can increase support for all our national teams, including our extended national teams. We can do even more on diversity, equality, and inclusion by welcoming more disabled service organizations. Because all athletes are abled. We can invest more in our adults and our youth, bring in millions of new players, including more boys and girls from underserved communities. And we can make it easier and more affordable to become a coach or a referee. In short, we can achieve a bold new goal, doubling the ranks of our players, coaches, and referees by the end of the decade. I know we can do it. And as we do, we need to take action to prevent abuse and protect the health and safety of every player at every level. I want to close on a personal note. I immigrated to the United States as a teenager with my family. America welcomed us and gave us a second chance in life. And I've been lucky to live my dreams, including working with all of you. In life and in soccer sometimes, we stumble. But we get back up and we emerge stronger than before. Today, I stand before you with humility and a profound sense of responsibility. I'm extending my hand and I'm humbly asking for your support. I'm committed to a new beginning. I know we can bring our Federation together, and I believe for soccer in America, our greatest days are yet to come. Thank you very much.
Now let's get to the official announcement, where they did officially announce that Sidney Cohn was re-elected as the U.S. Federation's president, and she would remain in that role for 4 more years. And there was a lot of different issues that were discussed, but one of those topics was the budget issue, and that seemed to be a very controversial debate or conversation on the broadcast. And the broadcast started at about 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and it did not conclude until, I believe, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So it was a big chunk of people's morning and afternoon. But also, there was a lot of technical difficulties. They would go to 5 to 10 minute breaks, some breaks that would go over, and they did take those breaks maybe 5 to 10 times, and it got a bit annoying and tedious over those couple of hours, because every time they had a stakeholder or a board member that would connect via Zoom, and that person would have a conversation or would have a question or would like to comment on something that was being said on the broadcast, there was this major delay when that person would want to raise that concern. And then when that person was talking, then you heard the feedback. So it seems like USSoccer, a federation that is a $100 million a year federation, can't even put together a AGM, which that's meant to be your marquee event, right? That's meant to be your event where all your stakeholders come together, you show the world, you show the country what you accomplished, what you did, who's going to be your next president. And that is meant to be a big event for the U.S. soccer world. And if you want to like actually go back and look at it, it was not the best event that they could put out there for all stakeholders. So there was concern regarding the budget. So we will add some clips on that one, and you will be able to hear what they had to say on that.
Hi, thank you for your questions. I just wanted to make a few comments. You know, we went through the process of having a couple of budget Q&As, and I have received the question, Janet Campbell, from you on the $24 million settlement, and I appreciate that. I want to, again, reiterate for the group who were not able to join the budget Q&A, when we talked about it in the budget Q&A, we said the $24 million settlement is a multi-year settlement. And the other thing that it requires is a ratification of the WNT CBA. As far as where the $24 million is coming from, is going to come from our reserves. So those are just some of the facts that I wanted to share with the group. Lastly, what I'll say is, as you look at the five-year plan was going to draw our reserves down to $50 million. And even if we were to pay the settlement tomorrow, it will draw down the reserves to $78 million. In relation to the other question about the five-year plan and the goals, I wasn't here when the five-year plan was put together, but I will tell you, the last 2 years, the Federation has gone through challenging times going through COVID. When the five-year plan was put together, could we have anticipated COVID? No. Could we have anticipated it would last 2 years? No. Could we have anticipated the litigation? No. So I would say keep those things in mind, and know that the Budget and Finance Committee is committed to developing a five-year plan. It is in your book of reports. So it is a commitment of the board. It's a commitment of the Budget and Finance Committee, and it is something we're going to work on as our number one priority for this year. So you will have that five-year plan this year. Thank you.
And lastly, I want to say that there always seems to be this conversation of, are we going to pay? Should the U.S. Soccer Federation pay their president? And they did have the conversation on the broadcast, on the AGM. In my opinion, I think that the U.S. Soccer Federation should elect, that the stakeholders should vote, that they should compensate their president, because I think someone like that is overseeing of a federation that has different departments, and I think someone like that should have their sole focus on running the federation and not worrying about making ends meet day to day And then thinking about the Federation as a side job. And I know at the moment, if you're not getting paid for it, it is potentially a powerful position. Someone could use that to get leverage to do other things. So there still is some power. But I think if you do compensate someone in that position, they would not use their leverage potentially to get something else or to get a higher job or to make more money. Then that person would work harder and they will dedicate all their time towards that because that will be their main source of income. But on the other side, some people argue and they say, well, the president is not working day to day. That person is just overseeing what's going on. There is the CEO. There are other day-to-day employees and management and executive staff that runs the Federation. So when you put it that way, it seems like the president potentially shouldn't get paid well over a living wage or shouldn't receive benefits for doing the job. But I think we go back and we say, this is a federation that generates millions of dollars, right? It generates millions of dollars. And when you look at any other nonprofit, they do pay their CEO, their president, their managing partner, their managing director, whatever you want to call that person is on big money. Because the whole point, the whole purpose of the nonprofit organization is because you want to drive those donations. You want to drive that funding. And I get that the U.S. Soccer Federation is set up in a much different way than other nonprofits. But I think that they should compensate the management team, the executive staff, the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation. They should compensate that person and provide that person benefits. Because I think if you're not doing that, then you have other organizations like you have Major League Soccer, NISA, USL. They're working day and night to make their league as powerful as possible. So that's the whole point. And then you have the Federation, which is the governing body, and that governing body has a president that is not being paid a wage and not being provided benefits. So I think that is a downside. But if you look at it, if you compare that to FIFA, and you say, well, FIFA has a lot of controversial people at the top of that organization, you can say the same thing for U.S. Soccer in the past. You can say the same thing for U.S. Soccer in the past. So I would like to get your thoughts on that one. Should U.S. Soccer, at the next AGM, should U.S. Soccer work hard to persuade their stakeholders to vote yes to paying the U.S. Soccer president moving forward? Because I think I'm leaning more towards yes, because I think that person should be compensated and should be rewarded for doing a very difficult job, which is being the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, but I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. So let's hear from a former soccer player. He was at the U.S. Soccer AGM. I have forgot his name here, but I believe his name was Chris. Let's hear from him. I believe he is a stakeholder in U.S. Soccer. He has a vote as one of the stakeholders in the U.S. Soccer Federation. So let's hear what he had to say on this issue. And I do believe what he had to say. And I do believe he is right on this. But let's hear what he had to say.
Hi, I apologize. I recognize this is rather extraordinary that I would sprint over. I'm out of breath. That's terrible for an athlete right now. I would sprint over to come on camera. I'm having computer issues. I probably won't even be able to vote in this. We think it's such an expansive role that some amount of money and benefits is actually a really key part of this, is necessary. And the way it's currently structured, we think it's exclusionary. And we're trying to lower the bar, not in the quality of candidates, but so that more candidates could have the possibility to stand for election. So if the amount is what makes people uncomfortable, we're open to dialogue around that. You know, hearing people's concerns that has to do with who's going to hold them responsible or do performance reviews or what's the job description, I would say, why aren't we having those conversations now? We don't do, there's no job review go or there's no job description. Go look in the bylaws. So I don't know why bringing a monetary amount forward that is certainly a significant amount of money across the country, but still one that we think the Federation can handle, is spurring this dialogue now. So we'd love to have that dialogue if ultimately the membership feels now is not the time. But again, we feel that the way the position is currently structured, it is exclusionary in nature in who can actually come forward. And I think we're missing out on some really potentially great candidates that could fill the role for us going forward. Thank you. And again, I apologize about the wildness that just took place.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of First Team Podcast. I really do appreciate it. If you want to join the conversation, you can. You can join the conversation by sending us an email. And our email is firstteampod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at First Team Pod. And you can check out our website, which is firstteampod.net. So we have a lot in store moving forward. We will be back next week with another edition of First Team Podcast. And until then, let's go New York City Soccer.